Good evening. Good evening, Baltimore. Welcome to Man in the Mirror. I'm your host, Hezekiah L. Montgomery, with our co-host, Michelle Johnson. And we have a couple other people joining us tonight, or maybe just one. But we also have our guest co-host this evening, Deacon Thomas Farr of Issues Christian Men Talk. As we will be diving into a deeply debated discussion that's been going on since the beginning of time, kind of, sort of, church hurt or people hurt? Yeah, I said it, and we're going to be talking about this church hurt thing tonight. But before we get started, we are going to open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for lying down last night, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up to a day we've never seen before, Lord. We thank you for loving us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for grace. We thank you, Lord, for mercy, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Man in the Mirror ministry, Lord, for those who come in, those who listen on demand, Lord. We just pray that they will learn something, that they will join us, and they will just come on and help us tonight. Lord, help us just to talk about this deeply discussed, the debate discussion, Lord, that we will get the truth out of it, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for Deacon Farr coming on tonight, Lord. Again, we thank you, Lord, for Michelle, Lord, for all she's done for the show, Lord. We just thank you that we can just agree to disagree if we even come to that point, Lord. But Lord, we pray that your name will be in everything. We will never fail to give you all glory, honor, and praise. And we ask all these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. And if you've tuned in, if you're on your phone, press number one, you'll be put in our queue. And welcome back to the show, Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you, Hezekiah. Glad to be back.
And Deacon Farr, I'm glad you're here with us tonight.
Praise the Lord, brother. Thank you for inviting me.
Excellent. And we're trying to get Pastor Clinton in, but he got tied up. He said he may try to, you know, join us when he can, but that's okay. We're going to keep this train moving. And little notes about this. I've been in church my whole life, raised up in Holiness Church when born, then went to the Catholic Church, and when the Catholic schools were really thriving in the inner city areas of Philadelphia. Then life led me to the Mennonite Church for about 20 years. Then 16 years ago, moving to Baltimore from Philadelphia, life happens again, and I experienced for the first time, after being in church my whole life, church hurt. While I've heard of it when things or incidents happen and they blame the church and we leave that particular church, I know I did, but the Lord just revealed something to me just this past weekend. It's not church hurt, it's people hurt. People hurt people, and hurt people hurt people. And I know what you're saying. You know, Hezekiah, what are you talking about? Well, I remember a song that I heard a long time ago, and it was about I'll pray for you. And Jesus was saying, you know, after Peter did what he did, come back and strengthen your brothers, and I'll pray for you. But we have to think about it. Peter hurt Christ a long time ago when Christ told him, you're going to deny me three times. Christ said, this is the paraphrase version. And Peter said, I'll never deny you. So later on, we know Peter denied Christ three times and a cock crowed. But in that same area of the scripture, Christ said, he told them, Satan has chosen to sift you as wheat. But when you come back, strengthen your brothers. So what do we think, Michelle and Deacon Thomas, Deacon Farda, how did Jesus feel after Peter denied him? He was hurt. He was hurt. It says, Simon, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. That's from Luke 22:31-22. So tonight's episode is church hurt. Many of us have experienced it, many of us have witnessed it, or people hurt. So as an open discussion tonight, you know, call in at 917-889-2271 or log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/man-in-mirror. So what are your points? Any, you know, between you two, we can start this off. Any comments or questions?
Amen. Can you hear me? I'm here. Let me throw my two cents in here. I think it's more than just the church. I think people we're raised or the culture, we're caught up in certain things, and I think a lot of it is, you know, we have a fantasy, you know, we have expectations. Let me use that word. We have expectations for certain organizations, certain people. Certain people in our lives, we put people in a box, and when they don't meet those expectations, I think that's the foundation, that's the kicking off point. When we talk about this church hurt and people hurting people, we come into relationships with expectations, and when those expectations are not met, it can be the church, it can be family, it can be a job, it can be a lot of things. But when we talk about the body of Christ, I think it starts off that folk have expectations in when they come into a local congregation or the quote unquote the church. What do you think?
Well, I want to chime in. I agree with what Deacon Farr is saying. You know, it is a lot expectation, what we expect the people of God to do, but I also feel that sometimes the emotions that we have, I've had somebody say to me that, you know, we really don't have time to let our emotions run ragged, and even the word really speaks about that. We are supposed to be following Christ, and everybody gets upset sometimes, but we're not supposed to be led by our emotions and everything, tossed to and fro by, you know, everything we hear. And so we have to remember that, and I think that is what happens a lot when people are talking about church hurt, is that, you know, we just are so emotional. I know I might, you know, hit a chord with this one, but I think we as people, we just are very super sensitive about everything. So I think that's one side of it. But then also, just like we talk about, you know, bosses on jobs that need to have people skills to be able to engage the people that they're leading, I think the people in the church don't consider that as well, that they need to have these people skills. If they don't have them naturally, and we're talking about people in leadership, so if they don't have them naturally, then, you know, I honestly feel like this is something you can look in the Word to try to develop, but you can also develop outside of the Word through, like, personal development and that kind of thing. But that's leadership. So you also have it on just a person-to-person, or do they call them lay members, hurt one another as well. So that's a whole another story, but I think that also, again, goes back to the emotions and being led by our emotions.
Okay. So let's back up to the leaders, because, you know, people think, and I'm going to go back to what I basically said at the beginning. The church, and tell me if I'm wrong, the church wasn't truly developed until, we weren't even called Christians until Acts, and that's when the church after that basically started being developed. So we can't say church hurt. And as you were saying, you know, you're putting in the business aspects, Michelle, that people have to, people, pastors, deacons, leadership, they have to have people skills. Because when you're dealing with people, we can't say a church is. I spoke to a pastor earlier, Pastor Clinton, and we just had a little talk about it. You know, the church is a building, but the church itself is the people. So we can't say, hey, the church is hurting me. No, it's the people that make up the church, somebody, someone, or something, and as we go back, or some kind of form of leadership, they're not doing spiritually what they're supposed to have done. They're dropping the ball. They're not meeting the mark. You know, when a soul is a soul. If Jesus stopped on the cross and said, you know, he wasn't even in church. He didn't say, well, you got to do 7 Hail Marys. You got to go kiss my ring or do that. No, he was dying. But he stopped on the cross and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So he did not crucify. He was already been crucified. He didn't talk about him. He didn't say anything. He stopped dying for that one moment or part of that one moment and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Because Jesus came to serve first. He didn't come to be, you know, they wanted to be king, but he came to serve. So we have to have, you know, the church community has to have a more of a, you know, how's that say, servanthood of Christ. Because they say they do, but actions speak louder than words. You know, when people hurt because they get hurt by the ones that they expect. And as Deacon Farr said, we put a high expectancy on people. You know, we put a high expectancy when our pastors, when our pastors fail us, we're hurt. When our leadership in the church fail us, we're hurt. They're not meeting what we're expecting. But we have to realize they are people like you and me. When they miss the mark, you know, get me if I'm wrong, you know, you guys can help me out. But when they miss the mark, they have to still answer to God. You know, we as leaders, anyone that's a leader in a church, and James 3:1, when you got that calling, you got to be careful, because James 3:1 says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never in fault in the way and what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. So, you know, when you're a leader, you have to be careful because, you know, when you mess up, God is holding you. So these people that have been hurting because of, I want to stop saying people, the people hurt that goes on in the church, they have to be careful. You know, because when you hurt God's people, then God is going to hurt you more accountable.
Well, okay, let me ask. All right, let me interject this. When we're talking about the hurt of Nicole said, we have to in the conversation and even in our discussion tonight, we had to separate some stuff because I think. Because she said, you know, it's the first. The church is the body is the body of believers, the individuals, us coming together in the worship of God, in the praise of God, and to be taught the things of God. That's what we talk about the church. Now, when we talk to our interactions and when we coming together, you know, when we go right now. I feel we're going to bring a broad brush here, but when it comes to leadership, I think some of the biggest thing with leadership is. From my experience, let me put that out there first. From my experience, I see folk who see pastors and elders and deacons, and they have a wrong perception of who they are and who they're supposed to be in their lives. Because you read that scripture from James about being a teacher, and a teacher is, by definition, someone who's trying to get us to a place to give us knowledge, disciple us, because that's what the church is called to do, is disciple. So when we say that in the church, and because a lot of church hurt is people being called out for their stuff, okay? So we can go out on that because the word of God stands for certain integrity, a character, and accountability. The scripture, you know, we only people like preaching on those parts of the word of God, but that's what the church is also for, to hold us accountable to our lives, to give us a standard of our character, and again, because we're being transformed. We all were sinners, we were all separated from God, and we all need redemption. So the church is there. That's the part of the church I think we leave out, And that's the part when people get hurt, because when you get called out on your sin and called to repent, mm-hmm. and called to be converted and called to submit unto God, unto the Holy Spirit, and unto church leadership, this is what people call that church hurt, and that's not really church hurt. That's the test of your faith and your true conversion, and are you really a Christian? So, I mean, I don't know how long we got tonight, but I think we have to take this in little bites, because church hurt, some people, they're just not converted, and they don't want to be converted because they don't want to be held accountable to the Word of God. So if a man or woman, your leadership is teaching and holding you to the biblical standard, people call that church hurt. Now, we can always talk about, you know, men of God and leaders in the church who manipulate people and abuse people. That's one thing, because that's out there, because we are all sinners, and, you know, we're all sinners saved by grace, and some are redeemed and some not, because we have bootleg pastors out here. We have bootleg ministries, whatever. They're out there. There's wolves amongst the sheep. But when we're going to, you know, we discuss it, I think we have to take small bites, because a lot of people claim church hurt, and they move from church to church because they want to do what they want to do, and it's not what God says for them to do, and they don't like it, so they go somewhere else. And when you ask them about it, oh, that church, they don't treat you right. They don't show you love, the love of God. And my most famous and infamous one that irritates me is, they judge people over there. Okay? Judging means, okay, you need to not be doing what you, if you're disobedient to God and I point it out to you, I'm not judging you. I'm really helping you, because apparently you're not here. You're the application of the word, you're not there. The pride God is still working on you. Church leader, I'm here to keep you on course, because if we don't hold each other accountable, then we're not a church either. What do you say, sir?
Okay, let's back up. You know, you did hit something that's extremely interesting. It says when people are called out on their stuff, that's they you know, say, hey, that's church hurt. Okay, and let's put it this way. And I wrote something, you know, be careful, you know, how you call them out on their stuff. You know, because sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say, are you going, when you bring their stuff out, are you going to be in the flesh or are you going to be in the spirit? Because there's a whole different, you know, there's a whole biblical way of bringing out, quote unquote, people's stuff, you know, quote unquote, someone who has fallen, someone who has messed up. Because they're all sheep, you know, sheep as a shepherd or as a congregant or whatever you want to call it. Sheep get out of hand once in a while. Sheep go astray. Sheep, you know, go one way when a shepherd tell them to go another way. But, you know, what I'm thinking about, for the discussion tonight is when you call them out on their stuff or their sins or their wrongdoings, whatever you want to call it, it's what you say and it's how you say it. And again, like you say, when people judge you, it takes a very smart leader, very spiritual, someone who's tied in with God, that when they find that someone that's saying, okay, they think they're being judged, okay, how do you call that person in on their stuff, or so it don't make them seem like you're just picking on them, you know, because, you know, some churches can't, you know, you're supposed to, when you're a leader and you talk about stuff and you're trying to bring someone in or trying to help someone, it's just stay within a small group of leadership. The whole congregation or the whole church should know actually what's going on, because that's the way it's supposed to be done. So when we mention their stuff, we as leaders should know how to do that in love. Any thoughts?
Well, let me ask this, bro, because what you're saying, I hear what you're saying, but wait, now, when you say calling people stuff, let's look at Scripture. What did Paul do with the Corinthian church? He called them out on the stuff that they were doing. He put it out there as part of our...
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I was hearing some other stuff. But I'm saying, let's use Scripture as an example. Because when we talk about, you know, the love and how we talk to folk and how we do things, you know, I think we're a little bit tainted. I think the sister said it earlier. We people right now are soft. You can't tell people stuff. You have to spoon feed them and give them milk. But there's sometimes that's not what Scripture does. As a man of God, as a pastor and a teacher, if he goes through the book of Romans, he's going to call out all of the stuff that's going on in culture today and teach it, because that's what Paul wrote. If he goes to 1st or 2nd Corinthians, he's going to teach that stuff. And that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about the teaching part. Counseling is different, okay? But if he's teaching the word of God, first of all, the sinner should be offended because he's a sinner. And we're trying to bring them too. So when we talk about church hurt, that's what I'm saying. We're kind of broad here because people throw a lot of stuff. When you put up the church hurt tent, a lot of people throw a lot of stuff up under that tent. That's what I'm trying. That's my point I'm trying to
church
say.
Church hurt tent.
When you put up the tent of church hurt, people want to throw stuff under there. And I picked that because if the church is teaching the word of God, there's going to be condemnation. There's going to be correction. You're going to feel bad. And that's good. Because you need to repent from those things. You need to come under submission, and there's no way to spoon feed that or make it into pablum or milk or whatever to get to know that your sin is sin. And then if you're in the church amongst the congregation and keep doing those things, you're setting a bad example, because if this church does, if you know, there's a difference between counseling and teaching and from the pulpit, okay? So, you know, because if you bring someone into a one-on-one session to talk to them, because they're habitual, they're continuing to do the same thing. You know, it's funny. I was in a Bible study a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about some of this, because it was, if a person, for example, if there are two examples we talked about. If there's a person going around the church and is borrowing money from everybody in the church, and the pastor and leaders find out about it, So when that person is pulled up and corrected, they're going to throw that in the church hurt, because why are you judging me? Who are you to tell me this? But we find out that you borrowed $50 from this family, $100 from this family, $20 from this sister, and that's what you're going around, and you're bringing confusion to the body of Christ. The other example was we get someone in the church, male or female, who is sleeping around with everybody. They're just going through the singles in the church. At what point in the love do we approach that sin and correct it and stop it? Because the ones that they're coming up against are also our sheep that we're supposed to be protecting, but we need to pull that one up. Because we also need to go to the other ones, because y'all should know better, because y'all, you know, whatever. But these are the kind of things, that's what I'm saying. When we throw up the tent of church hurt, you got folk who will throw everything under there, but they won't look in the mirror and look at themselves. And what they're doing when we talk about being part of a church, because I find out a lot of folks don't even know what it means to be part of a church. They think because they show up on Sunday, pay tithes faithfully, or throw in a tip to God every now and then, participate in a couple of events, whatever. They think they're part. They think they're in the church, and that's what church membership is. So, like I say, I don't know what time we got, but when we put up this tent of hurt, we need to, because again, a lot of it is individuals, you know, how much, like I said before, what's the expectation we have on the church? Do we come to church with a teachable and cooperative attitude, or do we come with our own agenda? You know, how do we treat others? And then again, it goes back to the basic scripture. Do we put more trust in man than we do in God? Do we come to church so God can use us, or do we come to church to see how we can use the church? So that's why I just wanted to put some of that in there, because when we put the tent up of church hurt, people throw a lot of stuff under there, but then there's no real responsibility, because if we're the church, then what are we doing that everything everybody does, we're offended by, from pastor to the person sitting in the back row? What do you say, brother, sister?
Wow. I wanted to read Hebrews 13 and 17. You know, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And so I think that kind of speaks to a part of what you were talking about. And people, you know, I guess when you're a babe in Christ and coming in, you know, but then I know what you were saying is not always just a babe in Christ that's having these issues, but as a babe in Christ coming in, you know, they may not fully understand this part yet as they're receiving their teaching and growing in Christ. But it's like, yes, you have a part, too, that you have to do. There's some things that are expected of you, and it's not all on the leaders. So I get what you're saying. I totally agree with that. We have to kind of just, you know, they say grow up and put your big girl pants, big boy pants on, that kind of thing. I feel we have to do that because we're supposed to be learning and growing in the Word and becoming imitators of Christ. And so we really, you know, do have things that we're responsible for as well. And this is one of those things. So we need to do our part. And I guess, I hate to say devil's advocate, but you know, that's the saying that they have. And so, you know, Hezekiah was talking about the way. And I understand what you were saying about that you know, we're supposed to speak in the word of God, you know, to the people and to each other even, you know, when we see things that are not like Christ. And it, you know, we shouldn't be under all this pressure that we have to say, like, walk on eggshells and say everything a certain way and don't, you know, offend anybody with the way that you bring them to it, I guess. But it is there, in your opinion, Deacon Farr, a way that we, you know, the leaders really are supposed to approach, like, I guess breaking down more so the calling out publicly and the pulling to the side kind of thing. So I got those examples you were talking about where somebody may be just causing havoc in the church as a whole, and you may have to handle that situation. But I guess from your perspective, you know, do you feel that there's a certain point where it should go from a, you know, private, let me talk to you, brother or sister, to a, you know, public calling out? Because I've experienced both or seen both in the church.
Mm-hmm. Well, it too is a couple of things. You know, it goes back to leadership, senior leadership. It's first of all, to me, in my experience, it's if the word is being taught, like I said, if you teach through the Book of Romans, every sin in this 21st century is covered there, and the consequences and what God says about it. If you go through the Book of Corinthians, you have all the stuff that's going on inside the church and outside. Well, let's talk about inside the church, because the culture, they're going to do their thing. Sinners will do what sinners do. But within the church, you could teach through all Paul's letters for all the correction you need in people's lives. Then they have to be able to accept the word coming from their leader, quote unquote. Because first of all, you can't, don't call a man your pastor and your leader and your spiritual leader if you're not going to take the teachings he's giving you and what he's teaching you and apply it to your life. If you're just going to sit there week after week and not digest the word, then fine. You're gonna find something to put in that tent of church hurt, okay? Because after, you know, it's the word. I'll say that it's the word, and it's the teaching of the word and application, getting people to apply the word through the Holy Spirit, through them coming to faith, through their obedience to Christ, and not necessarily the man. You know, because I know churches that, you know, jumping through, you got to jump through hoops and do two backflips and then you're sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. But, you know, it's not that. It's obedience to the word. And salvation comes from hearing the word, the gospel message. Are people receiving the gospel? Are they being taught? And so that's one thing, you know. And then the other thing, again, you know, you're going to have people who, again, they have differing opinions. They see things different. But I think also with the when we talk about church discipline, that's covered in Scripture also. So I think a skilled leader knows how to maintain church discipline, because that is part of it. It's not how a lot of people see the church and see Christianity now as God is love and God loves everybody, so everything you do is okay. Now, I know all three of us know that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
I hope otherwise, you know, I have to come visit you too. No, I'm just kidding. But it's again, the Word of God is our measuring stick, our chalk line, the yardstick, the gradual, the ruler of our lives. And the more that we are in the Word, and the more that we submit ourselves unto God's Holy Spirit, if we're looking to be converted, if we're looking, like you used that scripture in Luke when Jesus talked to Peter. Peter was jacked up right then, and we know Peter's story. He had a long way to go until he got it right, and it came after Pentecost. So even today, when you talked about babes, babes have to keep coming back and have to start to be receiving the word. And then there's a parable, I believe it's in Mark, when we talked about the sowing of seed and the different ground, good ground, rocky ground, ground surrounded by thorns. I mean, we all know where people mm-hmm. are. But the word of God is the standard. That's what we have to do. You know, we can't, because again, people are going to be rebuked and everybody's not going to take it. And that's good because we don't want, we're trying, because remember, it's wheat and tare, okay? Mm. But then when you have the tare, start wanting to blame the word on why I don't like the church and that's why I don't go to church no more and the church did this and that to me. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's some of it's that, and then because when people go, okay, I'll say this, and I'll let y'all say, because when I hear people who have problem with church or Christianity, and you start to talk to them and let them talk about what happened, some of it is them. They didn't take it seriously. They thought this is not what church was. And then some of them are like kids. They wanted to do what they wanted to do, and they wanted to do it. And the church didn't go along with it, so now they hurt. What do y'all say?
Well, we're going to hold that question because we're at our halfway mark, but I wrote it down, you know, because they want to do what they want to do. And they were, you know, I wrote it down. We're at our half, what they want to do. We're at our halfway mark. We're going to, you know, take a few words from our sponsors, hear a little song, and then be back because I'm just enjoying this. You're listening live with Hezekiah L. Montgomery, L. Johnson, and our guest co-host, Deacon Thomas Farr, as we are having a great discussion on church hurt or people hurt. You can call in at 917-889-2271 or log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/man-in-the-mirror. And we have a couple notes from a couple of our supporters, Music Instruction for All Learners, Inc., where music knows no age. If you're interested in music instruction, such as piano lessons or instrumental lessons, please contact us at 443-574-5491 to set up an appointment to talk to our instructors. And please visit us on our new and improved website at www.mefowinc.org. Another sponsor is Curvy Boss Project. Curvy Boss Project was created to empower, inspire, motivate, and change the lives of full-figured women. Curvy chicks are boss chicks too, not to mention beautiful, intelligent, and talented. Please check them out on Facebook at Curvy Boss Project. And we will have a song right now, and we'll be back in a few minutes. And let's continue to press on.
I think I'll never be found. And there are moments of fear and doubt. Even the best fall to the ground. World through my jaded eyes. I get frustrated when there is no why. I put my focus on worthless. things. Even the strong fall to their knees. But God only knows what we all need. All I need, I will find in you. Life goes on, but your love will prove. All I need, I will find in you.
This is Man in the Mirror with your man, Hezekiah L. Montgomery, and our guest co-host tonight, Deacon Thomas Farr of Issues Christian Men Talk, and Michelle Johnson here tonight. We are discussing live about church hurt or people hurt. Which is it, church hurt or people hurt? And we're just having a great discussion. You can call in at 917-889-2271. Or log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/man-in-the-mirror and join us in a chat room or just listen in. Press number one on your phone if you want to, you know, talk to us or come up on the second half of the show as we're continuing this discussion. And Deacon Farr, I'm just enjoying this discussion because, you know, I'm still learning a lot. You know, this is why we're here, to learn. Because we've all been through something, no one is an island. No one knows everything, but we're making it real about what's going on in the church today. Because I'm the type of person, some people don't even want to talk about it because you touted the tent of church hurt. Well, you know, some people don't want to talk about it, but these are the issues that we need to talk about and make them real. So, you know, we can shame the devil and make him know, you know what, it's not going to work. Because somewhere down the line, we have to be able to get rid of that term, church hurt. It's not going to happen today or tomorrow, but it can happen that, you know, we can say, hey, you know, we all in this together. And I don't even want to try to get it right, Deacon Farr, but what was the last question that you had? Because you were saying something, if I'm correct, you know, people want to do it their way. And, you know, what do they expect the church to do?
Well, I was talking about, you know, when the sermon comes across and we're talking about the sins and the things that people are struggling with, and people not wanting to give up their lifestyle, whatever it may be. Because, again, you know, folk come from if we're truly evangelizing the world and the culture, people are coming into the body of Christ, and they're coming with it with a lot of stuff. But now when the word, when the preaching and teaching of the word starts to bang up against their norm, you know, and that's where the struggle comes. And then when it gets to the point where, you know, however leadership handles it, because it's one of the things, you know, that we notice, it's when it's coming from the pulpit, but then when you get in people's faces about what's going on. Because, again, so, you know, some pastors, you know, they see you coming to your church for years and years, but they still know you're doing the same stuff. They might want to, now it's time to come talk to you, because while you're sitting under my teaching, you're sitting under the word, you're in our prayers, We're looking for conversion. We're looking for something. Maybe you need more than what you're getting. But then when folk, you know, are called out on certain things, again, they call that church hurt. Because, again, the man, when this Sister Nicole mentioned it about the scripture. They're looking out for our souls. And unless you internalize that the man of God, your pastor, whoever, wherever you are in your church, you got 1,000, 5,000, or 10. If you believe that man is there to minister, to look after your soul, to prepare for you to stand before God and be judged, then you're going to hear what he's saying. And if you don't want to hear what he's saying, then, again, that's one of those things people throw into the tent of church hurt because they were called up. Because the man of God is not seeing. Maybe he's coming to you because I know I'm preaching. I know what I'm teaching. I'm teaching the word. But then I see your lifestyle. You're still struggling with some things. So maybe we need to talk about it. And actually, some people get offended by that. When you put it down to the personal one-on-one, eye-to-eye, people get offended, call that church. They leave the church. And then some people, we have other people who call church hurt is only the senior pastor could talk to them. The deacon to the elders and the ministers, how dare they say something to you? Again, what are we coming with the church? Are we looking to be in a body, in a community of people who believe? And do I understand that I'm a sinner? And like you said, we're not an island. The body of Christ and the church is put there together to help us get to that place where God, where our lives is righteous in God's sight. And we're being obedient to God. But again, you know, these are the things that we struggle with. Some of us struggle with it early in our Christian walk. Some of us struggle with it later in our Christian walk. Some of us struggle with it our whole Christian walk because we are not letting the God of the Word permeate and control our life, get in and sink into our heart. I mean, a lot of pastors say it a lot of ways, but if we are to apply the Word of God and be obedient to the Word of God, you know, if we keep God on the throne and Jesus where he is, it's easy to come alongside and be obedient to the men of God that we call them our pastors. I never known any pastor goes out there and grabs people up, put them in his building, lock the door, and they can't leave and make them listen to him. The man stands and he preaches, he teaches the word of God, and people come to hear. And apparently you come to church looking for something. So are you looking for conversion? Are you looking to be redeemed? Are you looking for a better way of living? You know, and are you looking to be obedient to the word of God and learn the word of God so you can apply the word of God? Or, again, folk come to church for different reasons, and when they don't go their way, they call it church hurt. They throw it under the tent, and they're out here talking about everybody, the pastor, this church, that pastor. What do you say, sir, ma'am?
You want to take that one to show?
I was still thinking about what he was saying, but I guess the thing is, because after listening to all the conversations, to me it just seems like, yeah, we are, which I said earlier in the conversation, we're just very emotional people, and everything, you know, offends our sensibilities. We get offended easily with one another. But someone said it earlier, I don't know which one of you it was, and the conversation is we have to remember that, you know, we're all progressing and growing in Christ, or we all should be. And even, you know, the man of God that God puts in place to lead the house of God, to lead the church, you know, they're still progressing and growing as well. Like, we should never stop. And so I think that's the biggest thing that we need to remember, that we need to be more forgiving of one another. And it's, you know, as far as the leaders, when they are having to chastise or having to correct, you know, the members, we do need to remember that it's our responsibility to obey the ones that have the rule over us and not let our emotions get in the way. And I just think that's one of the biggest things, because everyone just gets so offended. It surprises me how easily a person will get offended at what you say or do. And I was listening to what Deacon Farr was saying earlier, that a man of God that is truly being led by the Spirit and you know, that is heeding the calling that, you know, God has upon his life, then they know through their experience and through the Holy Spirit, you know, guiding and leading them, they know how to handle certain things. So sometimes, and I know it's difficult, but I feel like we just have to really, you know, trust those leaders, even when we don't see it. You know, we got to make sure that we're in line to see the vision with them, because they're going and they're leading the church based on a vision that God has given them, and they're carrying this out, and so they are leading the people as God, you know, hopefully as God has shown them the lead, as God guides them, as the Holy Spirit guides them. And so we have to trust that, because if we really do love God and want to grow as men and women of God, then that's one of the things that faith in God should cover that.
Okay. I do have an offline question I'm going to ask about things happening in the church and church hurt and what keeps people from, you know, what keeps people in. This is a friend of mine who couldn't make it in tonight, but they still sent me a question via Facebook. So this one is going to be for both of you. Either of you can actually answer the question. And I know what the answer is already going to be. And she says, so why does it seem as most churches now today are all about money, not to help out the people when needed? This deterred her from going to church. I remember when church was church and it was all about love, and now it's all about money. Me not going to church doesn't deter me from praising God, but the phoniness of the church kills me. And why do you pick the ones that they know who pays up their tithes and offerings to do all this, to do stuff as their favorite, or just recognize them only?
Raise
your hand at the same time.
No, I'm ready. You want me to go first?
Okay.
You know what?
Let you take that.
Oh, really? Okay. I got it. Throw it. I'm going to catch it. No. Brother, sister, you know, and even that person who sent you that, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I sympathize with what you're saying. But what it is, it's a couple of things. It's not about, I don't believe it's the church, it's really about the money. It's where, first of all, we want to localize it. Maybe the churches she's been to, they were manipulative, they were whatever. They were taking 5 orphans a day, they were doing the sow the seed thing, you know, and that offended you and it upset you. I understand that. That happens. You know, these churches out here, they do that. You know, you got people on TV right now. Send them $15 for some holy water. Send them $15 for the water from the Jordan. Prayer cloth. I mean, okay, the hustle man. The hustle man is out there. The hustle man is out there, and he's dressed up like a pastor. Now, let me go back to again. But my whole thing is, and I've learned this over the years, it's our relationship with Christ, and it's our discernment and our wisdom and application of the gospel and the word on where we choose to fellowship. Now, for someone to say they don't go to church because of, then don't go to that church. I agree. Get out. Don't go back there again, but find a church who's doing the things of God. And now on the other side of money is, you got to remember, you know, churches we have bills. There's no place churches have. There's churches in this world who meet in caves, who meet in the woods, who meet in shacks, who meet in places. But churches here in America, we're a little tainted. So churches have bills. You know, it's over. I learned, I have a couple pastors who say this, you know, you want it cold in the summer, you want it hot in the winter. You want lights. You want the toilet to flush. You want now, you want Wi-Fi. You want whatever. You want the website up. Okay? You want the bathrooms to get cleaned. So that takes finance. Well, because God is not sending ministering angels to vacuum the church and clean it and keep the lights on. BG&E, I don't think BG&E believe in God. Okay? Because, no. I'm sorry. Because, okay. I'm sorry. I'll say, hey, stop laughing. I'm talking here. No. But, you know, some of the temporal things that go on, we have to realize it does take money. But again, it goes back to if you believe in your church ministry, the vision, the mission, your pastor, what he wants to do, what God's called him to do. Some churches, they don't spend a lot of money on that. They feed the homeless. They do other things in the community where they have an overhead. You know, some churches have overhead, and some overhead churches have overhead that is different or more or less. But again, it's the temporal needs where that money truly goes. Now, I know the sister's probably listening. When you talk about salaries and what pastors get paid and compensation, that's a whole other discussion. Because in some aspects, again, these are temporal realm things. You know, some men of God are full-time, quote-unquote full-time. They either take salaries or they do other things too, because they have a wife and family, too, they have to support. Because the man that doesn't take care of his wife and her family doesn't even qualify to be a pastor. Okay? So it's a lot to it. And that's why I say that I hope she's not a close friend, but that's what people do when we start talking about church hurt and the things they don't like. We broad brush it and they throw everything in that tent. And it's all different and separate. And I want to go back to what I said in the beginning. The hustle man is out there and he's dressed up like a pastor. But you, the reason why they exist, because they get a few who follow behind. And who they, why? Because they don't read their word. They don't pray. They don't study the word of God and understand the word of God. They believe the man of God, just whatever that he's telling them, that whatever. But if you took time to read your scripture, you won't find it in scripture. If you took time to study it, you would know that's not what's taught in the word of God. But again, on the other hand, like I say, there's temporal needs. BG&E need their money. The water, the building has to be paid. The lights have to be on. Air conditioning got to get fixed. You know, and the heat got to work, and all these things you want to do. And then again, even if your church is going out and feeding the hungry, where is that coming from? Unless we could gather it from those who believe. So if you believe, you'll sow into what the church is doing to go feed the homeless. Or open up your home, get some stuff out your refrigerator and out your cabinet, and go take it to the people. You know, you can't have it both ways. And that's what a lot of it, when we talk about church hurt, people want it both ways. What do you say, ladies and gentlemen?
Wow. Yeah, I have to really agree with that, because that's one of the things that my pastor makes sure that we know. You know, we have the church meetings where they discuss everything down to the finances of the church, and he always says, you know, when the meeting is starting or when we're about to go into it, that the reason they do this is because transparency, and they want the people to know, you know, what's going on in the church. What have we been using the funds for? What's happening? What ministries are we using it for? What bills that we have come up? So they discuss those things, and so, you know, this is, it's real. Like that, yeah, we don't. The church doesn't just operate off of air. You know, we live in a world where we have to pay for everything, you know, that we use, and, you know, and forget the building and all the insurances. And, like, this is real stuff. Just like we deal with our everyday bills, you know, so does the church. And so, yeah, the thing about finances, and no, I don't necessarily think that qualifies as the quote-unquote church hurt kind of thing. It may be more so people misleading the people of God if they're into like these prosperity churches who, you know, ask for these offerings and tell you that, you know, you'll be blessed. Yes, we know that sowing and reaping is real, but there are people, like Deacon Forrest was saying, that just take advantage of this and take advantage of the people of God, and those people are out there. But, yes, as he was saying, the only way that you're going to know the difference is if you are in the Word, and then you'll be able to tell, you know, false leaders, false disciples. You'll be able to see that. And so, you know, that should be incentive for us as the people of God we just need to really get in our Word. We need to know God for ourselves and, you know, make sure that we're being led by the Spirit of God in all that we're doing. And that may cut down on a lot of what's going on. And is this all going to be solved in this conversation? You know, Deacon Farr said it early on, no. It's not going to all be solved in this conversation.
Oh, man.
But sorry, Hezekiah.
We got four minutes to go. I was hoping to have it all solved.
What are we? A soup? A sitcom? It's going to get a happy ending at the end? What are we doing here?
I think it just boils down to that we all have our responsibilities. The men and women who are in leadership, the men and women of God, they have a responsibility to the people of God that they're leading, and they have a responsibility to the call that's upon their life, and they have a responsibility to God for the things that he's entrusted to them to look over. And then we as the people of God, we have our responsibility as men and women of God to, one, which we talked about several times tonight, is just learning the Word of God and really knowing it for ourselves and having that personal relationship with God. And then, two, we actually have a responsibility to be, you know, obedient to the men and women of God who are placed in leadership over us, and to, you know, listen to what they're saying and take the correction that they give out, because it's godly, you know, correction. That's something that's been mandated to them to do for the people of God. And so they are just following that calling on their life. And so if we are all, and I know I forget the way that they say it, but, you know, it's like an old wives' tale or comment that, you know, the old folk used to say. But, you know, if you mind in your own, you really don't have time to worry about everything else that's going on and worry about small, trivial things that, you know, don't matter. In the end, they don't matter one way or another. So we really need to concentrate on us, our faith, our, you know, relationship with God, and what God has directed us to do and how the Spirit is leading us and the leadership that we're getting. And I think that's the biggest thing.
Amen, amen, amen. Any closing comments, Deacon Farr?
No, bro. I thank you for inviting me, and I thank you for the conversation, and for your listeners out there. Just, you know, if you're in the body of Christ and you're in the church, the only thing I can say to you is study, pray, and study and pray and be faithful to the Word. And if your ministry, and a lot of things, a lot of this church hurt is, if you have an issue, sit down and talk to your pastor about it. That's the best thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you're part of a body of Christ, if you're part of a local congregation and there's something going on, your pastor is not, take your pastor off the pedestal and go to him. Again, if he's that man of God who's going to speak into your life and help you mature and grow in Christ, then bring your concerns to him and let him, because if you're not understanding it, he can help you understand. And it's the same thing when we talk about each other. If we truly call ourselves family, let's talk about some of the issues. Talk, you know, do something to make it better. Then because it's not going to be perfect. You know, so how many of us, you know, we dump our families. Let me put it this way. An apostle told me this the other weekend. How many of us will walk off our job because somebody in our job upset us? Everybody don't raise your hand at the same time. That's all I have to say. So stop treating the church. You treat your job, that you're more favorable to your job than you are to your church. because people treat you in your job like crazy, but you're not going nowhere. That's all I got, brother. Thank you for inviting me. And you can do this again, man. You can do this again.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
That was a drop your mic moment.
Yeah, that was a drop mic moment. I need to get that little sound, like, you know, next time he come on, drop mic. That was it. As he walks off the stage, I'd like to thank all of you who have been listening in and joining in our discussion tonight. We truly enjoyed Deacon Farr. You know, he's the man. You know, he's a good man. You know, tune into his show. It's just Christian Men's Talk. You want to give the information about your show, Deacon Farr?
Oh, amen, amen. Thank you. Yeah, we're live every Monday night and every Monday night at 8 p.m. every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. You can go to Facebook, Issue Christian Men's Talk. You can see the link in the post there for our show times and the call and phone number. And we enjoy to have you. And the same thing, www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Thank you again, brother.
Amen, amen. If you have any more questions or comments, you can put them in our event page, and we'll do our best and get back at you with them. But this has truly been an eventful discussion, as I said, so I knew it was going to be, especially when we, bring our favorite friend over, Deacon Thomas Farr. I know it's going to be an eventful discussion. And Michelle, we thank you for your input. And as always, this is Hezekiah L. Montgomery, and we'll see you at the mirror.
Because anytime you sing about Jesus, how many of you know there's something about that name? There's something about that name. I want you to listen to it, and let's let the Lord bless us in this song.
I know it. It's because something is happening right now. Something is happening right now. I feel it, Lord. I feel His presence. I feel His presence. I feel His anointing. Because there's something about that name.
Felt that. Hallelujah.